audience into this service today. We thank God that we're able to stream live every Sunday morning by means of technical support around the world, as well as locally here in Tyler and also in Texas and other states of our union. Ms. Bickley, I join my church in saying amen. We're so glad to have you come. I love music. Oh, I love music. I've told our church many, many times, my daddy used to play the piano for the motion picture theater back during silent movie days. He would sit over in an upright piano and look at the screen and provide the music. And I grew up with a daddy who loved music and a mother that loved music and a brother that loved music. And I have a little trouble getting it out, but I love music. And I'm so glad to have you a part of the work here. Glad to have you. All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. I want to read for your hearing verses 7 through 19. I endeavor to speak from my heart to your heart today. This precious text that we have, 1 John 4, 7 through 19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we've known and believed the love that God hath to us, that God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. And what a text that is. The text that I have chosen is verse number 19. We love Him because He loved us. I believe this is the greatest love passage in the Bible. The word love is used 27 times in this one chapter. 27 times. Love, love, love. Not only was John the disciple whom Jesus loved, but he was the disciple who loved Jesus. I want you to listen carefully to this opening statement. Salvation is a love relationship between a sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is no love relationship, there can be no salvation. Salvation involves a public profession of faith in Christ, but it is more than that. Salvation involves a decision and a commitment to Christ, but it is more than that. Salvation involves calling on the name of the Lord, but it is more than that. Salvation involves believing the gospel, but it is more than that. Salvation involves the forgiveness of sins, but it is more than that. Salvation involves following the Lord in baptism, but it is more than that. Salvation involves becoming a member of the church, but it is more than that. Salvation involves a change in conduct, but it is more than that. Salvation involves becoming a servant of the Lord, but it is more than that. Again, the opening statement, salvation is a love relationship between a sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is no relationship, there will be no salvation. I believe with all of my heart that when a sinner is saved, he falls in love with Jesus Christ. And that makes the difference between genuine conversion and the shallow, superficial decisions for Christ that we see today. Religion says, what do you believe? Christianity says, who do you love? Let that sink in. Matthew 22:37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I think this is revealed in the scriptures that we've just read this morning. Look at verses 7 and 8 once again. You cannot read this passage too much. Beloved, speaking to God's people, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Love is essential to knowing God. Not a whole lot of studying, not a whole lot of theological propositions, but love is essential to knowing God. And without it, you cannot know Him. You cannot know Him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now that's a theological word, propitiation. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. It is a word that is translated mercy seat. And mercy seat is actually one of the pieces of furniture in the Old Testament tabernacle system and the Old Testament temple. It was located behind the veil, the second veil, and the priest would enter into that once a year, taking the blood of an innocent animal and sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat. That's where propitiation took place. It was simply saying God is satisfied that a sacrifice has been made. Now, the blood of animals could never take away sins, but it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ one day would hang on the cross of Calvary and take our sins upon Himself and satisfy the justice of the Father in so doing. And when God was satisfied, we're satisfied. Love originates with God. It is manifested in His Son, Jesus Christ. You can't love God if you don't love His Son. Why would you want to love God if you don't love His Son? Jesus came to make atonement and satisfaction for the sins of His people. He did that for us. Verses 16 and 17. We've known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Our love is made perfect and complete as we daily dwell in his love for us. Verse number 19, you have cause and effect. Everything that happens by way of an effect comes as a result of a cause. There is the divine cause. God is the divine cause. There would be nothing if God had not caused it to be. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Even in the book of Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But we have here the cause and the effect. Notice it again in our text. We love him because he first loved us. If you love the Lord Jesus today, it is not because he loved you in response to your loving him. You love him because he first loved you. He took the initiation. That's what you call cause and effect. God caused it by loving us. And whenever God loves an individual, put it down, that individual will love him back. We love him because he first loved us. If we do not love him, it's because he has not loved us. I'm going to say that again because not too many Baptists believe that. If we don't love him, it's because he has not loved us. And you can know whether you love him or not by knowing this, that he first loved you. And he is your Lord. And he is your Savior. Everyone whom he loves, I love this, everyone whom he loves will love him. It produces a loving relationship between the sinner and Christ. That's the title of the message, the relationship between the believing sinner and the Lord Jesus Christ. Man by the name of William Featherstone wrote the words to this song. And by the way, he died at age 27. And he wrote the words to this song, "My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life. I will love thee in death. And I love thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And I will say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Died at 27 years of age. Number one, Jesus Christ questioned Simon Peter about this kind of love. In the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, we're in the Epistle of John now. You've got to go backwards over to John, chapter number 21. Look at verses 15 through 17. This happened after the resurrection of Christ. He had encamped on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and was fixing breakfast for the disciples who had fished all night and had not caught anything. When they came to shore, the Lord Jesus welcomed them. He fed them and he began to talk to one of them, not all of them. He began to talk to one of them, and the one he talked to was Simon Peter. In verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, Lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Isn't it strange? The Lord raised the question three times, and he didn't vary the questioning of it. He said, If you love me, I want to know about it. Do you love me? And he raised it three times to Simon Peter. Simon responded that he loved the Lord. And Christ asked him a second time, Do you love me? Simon said, You know I love you, Lord. And the Lord approached him the third time, Do you love me? Please note, the question was not to be taken lightly. One time would have been enough. As a matter of fact, the Lord should not have had to ask. It should have been quite apparent and quite evident that Simon Peter loved him, but the Lord was digging deep in Simon's heart. This is the Peter, the most prominent of all the disciples. He was selected among the first of the disciples. He is the Peter who walked on the water. He is the Peter who made a great theological statement. Whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? And it was Peter who beat them to the punch and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the preacher who could even cast out demons. And yet Christ asked him about his love. Do you love me? Do you love me? That question is directed to us today. Lovest thou me? Do you really love Christ? Now, I'm not talking to take up time. I'm talking because I get under conviction. Because there are many times I need to tell the Lord I love Him. And maybe you might be in the same boat I am. Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ today? That's the question. Secondly, the strongest evidence that a man is saved is his love for Jesus Christ. Was it not Paul who wrote 1 Corinthians 13, especially verse 13, Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We can talk to the Lord about our faith in Him. Lord, I believe You are who You say You are, and I believe You'll do what You say You do. I want You to know my faith this and my faith that. There's something more important than faith. And Lord, don't You see that I have hope that one day You're going to take me out of this world and take me to glory? I have hope in You. There's something greater than hope. What's the greatest? L-O-V-E. That's agape love, the highest form of love that's mentioned in the Bible. The strongest evidence that a man is saved is his love for Jesus Christ. Not what he does. Now, he will do. But it's not based on what he does. It's how much he loves. You're not listening, are you? Too many things to think about when we come to church. Put your mind to it. How much do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? In John 8:42, the Pharisees said, We know who our Father is. God is our Father. And Jesus Christ said unto the Pharisees, if God were your Father, you'd love me. Not only do you love the Lord God, you would love me. And then in the 14th chapter of John, several places, verse number 15, John chapter number 14, verse number 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And in verse number 28, you have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And in John chapter 16, verse number 27, the Bible says this, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. There's another verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 16:22, and it's a very strong statement. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. He uses two Greek words there. If a man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Anathema is a little Greek word that actually is brought over into English. It is transliterated. Our English word is the same word. It's like the word baptism. Baptizo is translated and transliterated. It's the literal translation of baptism. Anathema is the translation of the Greek word anathema. And it means to be accursed. Just between the preacher and the congregation this morning, it means to be damned. Now, let's put on our boots and read it again. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be damned. Paul spoke the same language to Galatians chapter 1, when he says, if anybody preaches another gospel than that which you've heard, let him be anathema. Let him be damned. And it ends with the word Maranatha. That's a Greek word. What does it mean? It means the Lord cometh. Take a stand on this, dear friend. Not everybody in the world is a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not everybody in the world loves the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, sinners that have been saved by the Lord do love Him back. They love Him back. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love. Now don't raise your hand. Please, whatever you do, don't even scratch your head. It makes it look like you're getting ready to raise your hand. Whom having not seen, how many of you have seen Jesus Christ literally with the eyeball? Come on now. No, we haven't seen Him. But you know what? We love Him. Now, I've seen my wife. 67 years ago, I saw my wife. And I loved her, okay? But I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've never seen Him. I've never seen Him. Whom having not seen, you love. in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 John 4:19, no believer will ever fall out of love with Jesus Christ. You may divorce your husband, you may divorce your wife, but you'll never divorce the Lord Jesus Christ. No believer will ever fall out of love. That's why we used to sing, I think Brother Johnson, you ought to lead this every once in a while, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So the strongest evidence that a man is saved is his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, loving the Lord takes precedence over serving Him. Loving the Lord takes precedence. It is more important than serving Him. Look, if you would, at Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. Verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. I mean, I'm in the kitchen, I'm up to my neck getting a meal ready, and I need some help. And here she's sitting on her duff out here not doing anything. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. It's quite interesting to notice sometimes God, when He speaks with a voice in the Old Testament, He'd speak the person's name twice. He said, Abraham, Abraham. He said to Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. He says, here now, Martha. Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Honey, you got too much on your brains, too much on your mind. You're busy doing one thing and doing another. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. If I could say this, and hopefully in proper context, you'll understand what I'm saying. There's something more important than you preparing a meal for Christ. And that is loving Him. You know what makes for a good marriage? It is not that the wife fixes a good meal for her husband. It is because he knows. Without a shadow of a doubt, she loves me. That's more important than the food. She loves me. And it's quite necessary, and it's all right to serve the Lord. And it's a good thing to serve the Lord, but there's something better than that. And that is, He wants your heart. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to put Him first. That's why He asked Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Nothing wrong with serving the Lord. But you know you can serve the Lord with a cold heart. That's what the other Baptist members do, not our folk here. We can serve the Lord with a cold heart. Loving Him is far better. It is not our service that makes us love Him. It is our love for Him that makes us want to serve Him. One may have an excuse for not serving in certain capacities of which they have no ability. And that's understandable. I tell you what, it's good to have people who know how to sing. Not everybody knows how to sing. And maybe you said, well, I would love to do that, but I don't think I better try that. I don't do too well at it. Or you'll pick out something else and say, you know what, I would like to do that. I teach a Sunday school class. I would really like to, but I don't know how to teach. That's understandable. But I'm here to tell you, there's something you can do for the Lord. I don't care who you are, how young you are, or how old you are. There's something you can do for the Lord. It's the strongest evidence that a man is saved. And it always takes precedence over serving. Often our service gets to be a burden. And our work becomes routine. Could we be honest while we're here this morning? I mean, we're not going outside and tell it to the world. Not the world's business what we do in here. Could we have just a few open words of just plain old honesty? There's sometimes when I get so tired. I get so tired. I just can't hardly move. And I have to sit down. And I have to rest. But that should never diminish my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get so busy you forget to tell Him you love Him. It is love for Him that lubricates our service for Him. And finally, your love for the Lord will always be in direct proportion to your view of your own personal depravity. Your love for the Lord will always be in direct proportion to your view of your own depravity. While you're in Luke, look at chapter 7, verses 36 and following. Luke 7, verses 36 and following. One of the Pharisees desired him, that is, this Pharisee invited Christ over to his home for a meal. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And while the Lord Jesus and the Pharisee were having a meal, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, and you need to listen carefully to the words that follow. When the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself. Do you ever talk to yourself? What do you say? Well, usually when you're talking to yourself, you don't want anybody else to listen. And he didn't want the Lord to hear what he's saying, but he's talking to himself about this. He said, do you know this man, that is referring to his guest Christ, this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner this woman was. And she touched him. She's a sinner. Pardon me while I spit. She's a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, now put your seatbelt on, okay? Simon, I've got somewhat to say to thee. Oh, Master Sayon, I've been wanting you to talk to me for a long time. Yes, sir, you go right ahead. You take the floor. Well, he'd relinquished that before it was over with. He said there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other one 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave both of them. Now, Simon, I want you to tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him most. Good question. Simon answered and said, and I do like Simon, he's being honest here, he's a dummy. He said, well, I suppose. That's when you'd rather not say what you really believe. I suppose, it's my opinion, that he to whom he forgave most, and he said unto him, you've rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Now listen, church. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. There's a difference in love. Different qualities in love. Some love is big. Some love is small. May I ask you a question as a believer? From what did the Lord save you? You said, Brother Cozart, I've been a Christian now for 35 years. I've been a Christian for 12 years. I've been a Christian for 50 years. I ask you the question, from what did the Lord save you when you were saved? Were you a wicked sinner who deserved to go to hell, or did you just need the Lord to help you with a few of your problems? It'll determine the quality of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ when you understand what He did when He died for you on the cross of Calvary. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who hath rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. Do you know why it's called His great love, wherewith He loved us? Because we were great sinners when He loved us. And it took a great love to love sinners. Do we claim to be Christians? Make no mistake about it. If we are, we will love the Lord Jesus Christ. One other scripture and one final statement. Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, pardon me, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Paul also wrote the letter to the Ephesians. But later on, the church of Ephesus is recorded in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, one of seven churches. And it's the first one that's mentioned. And in that first examination, the Lord says, I have somewhat against you. He said to the church at Ephesus, hey, I have somewhat against you. You haven't been singing too well when you come together. You need to take some singing lessons. You need to learn how to sing. No, didn't say that. He said, I have somewhat against you. Thou hast left thy first love. Boy, what an indictment. Thou hast left our first love. Today, and especially in this closing moment, I would pray for you and I want you to pray for me that we'll keep our hearts and protect our love, that it doesn't grow cold and it doesn't grow indifferent, and that some way and somehow in your innermost soul before this day is over with, you can say as 27-year-old Featherston said, my Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. Let's stand, please, for prayer.